gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Hila Page and Alex Zalbin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman.
Boothman.
And guys, very exciting night tonight. Justin is not here.
Yeah.
And that marks the launch of our worldwide search. It's a contest called Where is Justin?
Where in the world is Justin Tyler?
Yeah, he stole the Eiffel Tower, and Now we're going to give you three clues, and you have to figure out where Justin is.
Clue number one, pizza.
Clue number two, John's Pizza.
Clue number three, Bleecker Street.
See if you can find it. And if so, he's going to buy you a slice of pizza.
Yeah, if you figure it out.
But guys, more exciting news tonight. Pete gave me some exciting news right before the show, and I wanted to just preface this. Once I say it, give him a big round of applause. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete LePage has now seen every movie that has come out this summer.
Why?
Unbelievable. Well,
that's more sad than exciting.
Is it?
But I was shocked to hear that you got to hang out with one of the stars of R.I.P.D.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I got to hang out with Jeff Bridges a very little bit when I was in San Diego.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest parts about meeting Jeff Bridges is he looks like Jeff Bridges, which I know sounds like a ridiculous thing, but when he sits down in a chair, you're like, yep. That's how Jeff Bridges sits. That's correct.
Were you like, hey, can you tone down your Jeff Bridges a little bit, Jeff Bridges?
And he's like, absolutely. Give me a white Russian. That was the worst Jeff Bridges impersonation.
It probably was.
But that's how he actually sounds.
He sounds like the worst Jeff Bridges impression?
Yes, he does. Oh, you know what? It was a Jeff Bridges impersonator.
Oh,
I never actually
ruined
him.
You ruined it.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
You just got a boost.
But, guys, I'm very excited about the show that we have tonight. The guest that we have, he's returning to the show after being on the Coexist Comedy Tour, which is on Stars right now, so you should check that out. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Griggs!
Chris Griggs, welcome to the show. Welcome,
Chris Griggs.
So exciting, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Coexist Comedy Tour.
Yes.
That implies some sort of coexistence.
It is. Well, it's basically someone...
And you were fitting the white guy slot.
Yes, the white guy Anglo-Christian from the South slot. Yeah, they have a Christian, an atheist, a Muslim, an agnostic, and you get it, you know, and you all go out and do comedy, and they had a bunch of auditions and stuff in New York, and they made a documentary about it.
Cool. So, what is it? Is it a concert film with interviews?
They show basically the whole thing from like start to inception, and then they show the auditions, and they put it together, and then they do a couple concerts around, and of course there's a lot of people get into conflicts and things about ideology and all of that. You know, put a couple of comics in a room with different ideologies, and it gets crazy.
Yeah. Now you said the word comics, and I'm beginning to wonder, what, if anything, does this have to do with comics? Probably nothing, right?
It doesn't have anything to do with comics, except that it's funny, and comics are funny.
Right. Yeah.
And there's God, and God could be the ultimate superhero.
Ooh.
Well, okay, I mean, I'll put this out to you guys. If there was some sort of Coexist comic book team,
yes,
who would be on that team? I mean, I'd put either from Marvel, I'd put like Ben Grimm or Kitty Pryde. They would fill the Jewish slot, which really sounds very anti-Semitic, but I'm Jewish, so it's okay. I can say that.
Mm-hmm. Nice cover up there.
Thank you very much.
Green Arrow is an agnostic, maybe?
Is he?
He's an agnostic.
Okay.
So who we want is our Christian. I don't know. Is there a Christian superhero?
No, there's none.
Wait.
They're all Jewish.
What?
I was just going to say, but he might still be dead. Nightcrawler, right?
Nightcrawler is Catholic,
right?
Nightcrawler's Catholic, so I like that.
Also, how can you be an atheist when there are literally gods who you're friends with in the comics continuity?
Right. Well, here's the question. Would that make you more of an atheist, maybe? Because you'd be like, are they really gods? They're kind of walking around. I feel like... Okay. Let's get into a really heavy religious...
Well, it's also hard because in comic book world, a god just might be someone that can bend time and shit gold balls. You know, I don't know how that... It's different.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, is they're just like
turning water into wine, you know.
Right. That's,
that could be an
Jesus
X-Man,
man,
yeah,
for
that's
all
a,
I know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
A very drunk X-Man.
Yep.
He doesn't actually go fight the villains, but he's always cool for the after party.
After party.
He's the after party X-Man.
Yeah,
he doesn't actually have to fight.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I think we've established that. And, guys, there's a couple of other things before we go on that you wanted to plug, Chris.
Oh, I'm doing my own comedy album. It's September 21st at the People's Improv Theater at 9:30. Yes. We're going to do our first recording for that. And
is it going to be on vinyl?
It should be on vinyl. I don't know what you call it. What do the kids call it now? I'm doing my comedy download. Is that what we should call it?
Well, it's a live taping of a stand-up set.
Yeah.
And then it'll be available on
iTunes. Yeah.
And they call it your recording an MP3.
Hey, guys, I'm going to be doing a recording in my MP3. It doesn't have the same pop.
It doesn't have the same.
No, not really.
And then every Saturday, 8 o'clock, Baldwin's Big Black Car, also at the People's Improv Theater. You can always catch improvisation at its finest. And if you want to go back in time, guys, and Google
Chris
Griggs.
Oh, are you one of those gods?
I wish. Okay. You can also, if you have your Wolverine fix, my Wolverine Love Ballad music video is also on my YouTube channel. So just Google Chris Griggs and Wolverine, and you will see my Love Ballad
to Wolverine.
And that was
maybe one of the first times you came on the show, right?
That was my first time I was on the show. I sang my a cappella love ballad to Wolverine.
Yeah.
You got to see it, guys. It's fun.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Wolverine would be the Canadian on the Coexist.
He would be. The angry,
that's a religion,
the angry Canadian.
Right?
Canadian's a religion. It's a boring religion. No, I'm just kidding. But it would be a religion,
The religious about health care.
Yeah.
Yes, this guy.
Uh-huh. That's where sin's a pre-existing condition, guys, and you can't get it.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Woo!
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week that we particularly liked.
Uh-huh.
First one, this is one of Pete's picks, Uncanny X-Men, number 9 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So, Pete, traditionally on the show, as I've known, you are a huge Dazzler fan.
Huge Dazzler
fan. Love Dazzler.
Yep.
So it was a no-brainer that you'd like this book.
Yeah, I mean, Dazzler, I'm doing a bit. I mean, I hate Dazzler. It's one of the worst comics ever. And you also wrote a Dazzler comic that was awful. It was just probably,
was it awful because Dazzler was in it or because I wrote it or a combo?
It wasn't because you wrote it.
Oh, okay.
It's how you wrote it. And then the fact that Dazzler was also in it. And a poor use of the Hulk as well.
For the record, I really liked that. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Boothman.
It was really funny.
This was a story where Hulk goes on a date with Dazzler.
Right.
It's in canon. It's in Hulk Team Up number 1. Very hard to get issue if you go on eBay. Thousands of dollars at this point. Really launched my career. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, your exciting career. What I like about this comic in particular is just this
that
kind
she
of...
she doesn't go on a date with the Hulk.
Yes, okay. That was very important to me. Yeah, I don't ever want to see that again. What I really like...
Hulk Team Up number 2.
Yeah. What I like about this is the struggle of the people trying to get teams together in the new X-Men world. You know, we have Wolverine's team, which is the best. And then we have Cyclops' crappy team. And then we have a Dazzler here trying to, work with Captain America and kind of make some things happen and try to be legit about stuff.
Okay, if that made no sense to you, just to explain it very quickly for those of you listening at home. So there's a rift in the mutants right now. Wolverine is running a school where he has mutants there. He's basically saying, listen, we shouldn't be sending kids to fight.
Right.
Cyclops, on the other hand, is saying, no, we're at war, and it's going around to recruiting.
Yeah, I will bring my kids to hell first day.
First day.
Yeah, and they
did. That's what school's like. Haven't you ever been to school, Pete?
Never.
Really? All right, that explains quite a bit.
I like this, and I also thought, because I had not really known the backstory getting this, it was an easy one to pick up. And you could kind of track what was going on right off the bat, which was cool. It also, I thought, kind of captured, particularly with Cyclops' group, kind of that old dynamic with some of the younger mutants and how they really didn't know powers. Like one day a guy's got a job at an ad agency and the next day he's fighting for his life. You know, so I thought it was cool. I liked the fact you could pick it up.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this here on the show before, but Brian Michael Bendis is writing this title, also writing All New X-Men. And this is some of the best writing he's done in the main Marvel universe in maybe a decade at this point, I think.
I mean, I want to put him down like that, but I agree that his writing right now
is
amazing.
Great. I mean, I love his Ultimate Spider-Man. That's one of my favorite titles.
Right.
And I really feel like he's channeling this here. To your point, the youth speak that he's so good at, he really... what you youth say.
What the kids are saying.
You know, when they do their MP3 album downloads with the kids, guys, I feel like they really know what the hip stuff's saying.
Yeah, they're drinking a lot of Gatorade, which is another thing.
Product placement, and it's very hip.
Playing b-ball.
Wow.
Oh, wow. All right, Justin goes away and we become old men. He's our youth correspondent.
Yeah, I guess so.
Totally. Anyway, the writing in here is great. Dazzler is going around trying to recruit people for S.H.I.E.L.D. or maybe not, kind of interrogating them. She's stuck in the middle there. There's great characterization throughout this issue. Also, this is some of my favorite art I've seen from Chris Bocciolo recently. Yeah,
I really like the art on this.
Yeah, it's really good. He has a tendency towards exaggeration, I think, and he's reined it in ever so slightly, and it really hits here.
Although sometimes when he does it, it's amazing. Exaggerates.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Pete.
Okay, good.
All right, cool. Let's turn to our next book, Batman Annual, number 2 from DC Comics.
Yeah.
So, Pete, what'd you think about this book?
Well, it's tough because when I picked it up, I thought we were going to get more of the kind of Zero kind of story arc, and I thought it would be a little bit more in canon, if you will. But it's kind of a side story about the Arkham Asylum and some of the inmates in there, which is enjoyable, but at the same time, I wanted more. I think my expectations for the issue are a little off from what I actually got.
I love this issue. So this is by Scott Snyder, and I'm totally blanking on the name of the woman who actually wrote the issue. He worked out the plot with her. You have Batman goes into Arkham Asylum to test the defenses, so to speak. You know, he tries to figure out...
But we don't know that in the beginning.
Right, we don't know that
in the beginning. He's like, what are you waiting for? Throw me in jail! I'm Batman! It's crazy!
It's like, Batman, don't be...
I'm crazy! Why are you being a dick to the new guy, Batman? Like, what are you doing?
Well, we get this all through the lens of a guy who's... It's his first night working in Arkham Asylum.
What a job to have.
What a crazy job. And also what I love about this issue is he's like, I believe this is going to be a great job! Which means that he's read zero newspapers from Gotham City for the past, like, 15 years.
He probably just moved, and the only help like, wanted Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Asylum? That sounds like a fun place to go.
But he's probably, like, sitting around a few years later going, guys, Batman's kind of a dick. I don't know if you guys know it, but I lived the first day. I want to tell you about my first day on the job.
Yeah. And it's great. It's a great story. We get it through his eyes, through the lens of his experience. Batman is testing the defenses. We also meet the first ever ward of Arkham Asylum, who's an old lady who slowly, it's revealed, can walk through walls and has these incredible powers. And she has gone, she started off kind of crazy and ends up insane by this point. So you get these multiple characters weaving together, and it's really a story that I have never read about Arkham Asylum before. Oh, that's what I thought was
saying
cool
a lot
about it.
That's great.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stories, and this really felt original to me. Very emotional.
I mean, I didn't buy the guy who's excited to work in Arkham. And he was like, there's a lady, you know, the old lady's behind bars, and he's like, we can help you. It's like, shut up, new guy. Like, she's in there for a reason. She did something wrong. Don't be like, well, just turn these cell
like
off, and then we'll just talk it out.
Your first day in comic book club, you were like that. You're like, look on, let's talk about comics, guys. And now you're like, I'm trapped in here with you.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
true.
Much.
Only I had a time machine.
if only. Yeah. Let's talk about another Batman book that came out this week. Batman Incorporated, number 13, also from Disney Comics is what I was about to say.
Wow.
From DC Comics. This is the end of Grant Morrison's run after a very, very long time on the title.
Yeah.
Chris, have you read any of this? I know you read this book.
I read this book, and no, I had not read. This was another one, which, thank God.
So this probably made no sense to you.
Well, the Batman Incorporated piece I didn't get, but I was amazed that I could track some of the other parts of it as far as in the beginning with Bruce Wayne, and he's doing an interview with Commissioner Gordon. But no, I did not know what Batman Incorporated was all about, so I found out. After I read it.
It's kind of like Kids Incorporated, but for Batman, so it's pretty much
with fighting crime.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't that Kids Incorporated?
Yeah. Sorry.
So
you're
it's
right.
The same thing.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought this was an amazingly easy-to-understand Grant Morrison last issue. Like, there was no real, like, head-scratcher, like, what?
Yeah.
There wasn't the curveball at the end.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't been reading it, Batman and his international Batmen are battling a crime organization called Leviathan, run by Talia al Ghul, who is the mother of Batman's dead child. She killed their own child, which is a terrible thing to do.
Right.
Pete.
What do you say it like I go around killing people's kids or something?
I'm not implying anything.
Well, you know, the first step to killing your child is going and seeing all the summer movies by yourself. That's the first step. I don't know if everybody
Nobody
knows that.
Nobody said I was by myself, asshole.
I'm inferring that. I felt that.
So by the end of the issue, we find Batman is triumphant, but of course at a cost. And we're left with a teaser on the last page where Ra's al Ghul, Talia's dad, comes into a room where there's all these tanks where tiny little Damian Wayne, sons of Batman,
spoiler, there, Jesus.
Giant spoiler. And he says, "Sons of Batman, rise!" in a clear tip-off to the hit movie Dark Knight Rises.
Clear tip-off.
So there's lots of Batman babies.
Yeah.
Lots of Batman babies, which is like Muppet babies, but for
guys,
Batman.
Look out. Bruce Wayne, Spring Break style. Here come some babies.
Why does spring break make you think of babies, Chris?
Because if you go to spring break, you might have sex, and that means you might have babies.
All right.
Everybody knows that, guys. Come on, what are we doing? Come on, we're not kids here, right?
Yeah,
we know what spring break
equals.
What
are clapping for, exactly? Spring break or babies?
Babies. I'm just saying, babies. If Bruce Wayne went and had spring break, babies happen. There's no condoms in the utility belt. That's
break.
What I'm saying. I'm on spring break. Don't let me scare you. I'm here to foam dance and forget my life.
Do you want some beads?
Maybe that's Mardi Gras.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But what was messed up about this issue was how little the mother cared about her kid. Like, not even a...
just wanted to go on spring break.
Yeah, obviously. Who doesn't? But I just was a little surprised that there was not even a moment of
She has tons of tanks full of kids.
Sure.
Back at her house.
But that doesn't mean you can't care about those tanks.
And if you can clone them.
Really? You're not going to care?
Yeah.
I care. I'm just saying I can clone them.
You know, that one tank.
So if a kid really got me down, I know that I could clone another kid.
Yeah, but it's going to be different, you know? It's like Multiplicity. By the time you get to the end, you know, that
I believe that.
Yeah. It's like
Michael Keaton reference, guys.
Yeah, it's you know, Batman, Michael Keaton.
Speaking
come on,
of album references.
Right, you have all these sons of Batman who can, like, do different jobs and have different specializations,
right.
But it's not the same.
And then you just call the last one Steve, you know.
That is way too much information about Multiplicity. All right, last thing we're going to talk about.
I see
about,
a lot of movies.
This is a little unorthodox, Pete. This is one of my picks. Because it came out a couple of weeks ago, but I missed it the first time.
Man, when Justin's not here, you just do crazy stuff.
Yeah, throw the rules out the window.
Yeah.
This is a book called Blood Brothers, number one. Came out from Dark Horse a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was great. So the idea is two dudes who happen to be vampires hang out. They work as bounty hunters, essentially, tracking guys down. And they get in, as you'd imagine, a little over their head with some really powerful vampires, powerful guys in Vegas. It's a very funny book. There's some really great funny asides. The relationship between the two main characters is a lot of fun. And there's vampire stuff in here that I don't think I've ever seen before. So I really enjoyed this book. What'd you think, Pete?
It's funny because it was like an interesting take on if you live forever, you can be really shitty at your job. You could just be very lazy because you're going to outlive the person and outchase the person. And it was just funny to be like, okay, we're going to go attack this guy who is a wanted felon. And the whole time the other guy's just hitting on ladies, you know, being like, all right, eventually I'll run him down and get there. And it was just, I thought it was a very fun kind of take on what it would be like if you were a vampire and like, it would make you a slacker.
Exactly.
And there was no, like, getting excited over stuff because you've done it 80 million times.
Yeah, and one of my favorite sight gags that happens throughout is they'll have one panel or three panel flashbacks to things that have happened to them throughout history because they've been alive for 1,000 years. And they've been slackers for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're interacting with Genghis Khan and they're like, maybe you shouldn't decapitate everybody, dude.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's funny little stuff like that. What'd you think, Chris?
I really liked this book, too. It took me a minute to figure out if I liked it because it was good or if I liked it because it was so bad it was good. Because you're right. You think of a certain kind of a thing when you go into a vampire book. But it's sort of like they are slackers. They're quasi-losers. They've never gotten their finances in order. And Some of the writing to me is a little bit like, hey, you'll get a kick out of this. And yeah. you're yeah. trying to decide, is the writing being lazy or is this just what you want to say for a story? But then you get really sucked into the whole thing. And it's just funny. It's like watching almost like two regular just buddies and they really care about each other. And then all of a sudden they're also vampires. And you're right. They're in so over their head. You kind of want to know, how are they going to get out of this one?
Totally.
And then there's one guy, there's a love story in it, which is kind of cool, and you're sort of trying to figure out how that's going to resolve and all of that, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I also really like the art by Evan Shaner in this
book. I thought the art was really good, yeah.
I thought it was great. He captures these slackers perfectly, yep. and I love the fact, one of my least favorite things, and I think everybody's least favorite thing about vampire TV shows is wigs throughout time. That they always feel like, oh, the vampire's back in time, 100 years. He has to have a ridiculous wig that's like that hairstyle. There's almost a running visual joke throughout that they have the same hipster haircuts for 1,000 years. Yeah. And I just thought
and, yeah, great. Hipsters would be lazy enough to not change throughout their haircut throughout exactly. all of time.
So if you're looking for an offbeat book, go back, pick up Blood Brothers number one, and that's it. Oh.
I did want to say, speaking of the artwork, I think this was a rare case where the artwork really, well, not that rare, we're talking about mainstream comics, but a great job of echoing the theme of the book of, like, the art kind of was also slackerish, and I don't mean that as a bad thing, but it was a good thing, and it was a part of the humor that really added to it. And it also, if you weren't like reading all the bubbles and everything, you could kind of tell the story just
right,
by
like
the way
if you
it was
were skimming it really quickly to cram for the show, that sort of thing.
No, not that, Dick. but if you were just kind of looking at it, it would all visually make sense. Was my point?
Right, visual storytelling.
Yes,
comic books.
You're an asshole.
Okay. And that's it for the stack. All right, guys, we're going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. So for that, we're going to go over to Booth Mail.
Booth Mail.
Booth Mail.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Boothers.
Hey, Boothers. What's our first question?
It's probably something about comics. hey, I was right. Will there be a comic book movie with actual creators that worked on said comic that get involved at all?
Ooh, that seems like a bad idea to me.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean,
yeah,
why have the person who helped make it so great then
right.
involved
they'll
with the movie?
They'll just get in the way, I
feel. Yeah. Because, you know, they'll want to do one thing and the director want to do something else and it just won't
totally.
Make sense.
But, I mean, doesn't Joss Whedon kind of write comics and he can also...
Yeah. Well, sure. If you want to answer the question, yes.
I'm sorry. I thought I was just... filibuster. Keep going. You're doing great. You guys keep going.
To that point, Marvel does have a creative committee where they bring in writers to consult on the movies and to make sure that there's some sort of matchup. I think one of the things that the Marvel movies actually do quite well is that they forge their own path and go in their own way, mm-hmm. but they do have those touchstones so that a Thor does still feel like Thor or Captain America does still feel like Captain America. Mm-hmm. That said, you get things like, again, talking about San Diego, but I chatted a bit with Ed Brubaker about Captain America the Winter Soldier.
You know excuse how, why you name drop a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. You know how he found out about Captain America the Winter Soldier?
How?
He was walking down the street and his phone started buzzing and people were like, wow, congratulations. And he's like, I won an Eisner like 2 days ago. I don't know why people are just talking to me now about it. And then finally somebody got him on the phone. They were like, hey, did you hear about Winter Soldier? He's like, what?
Wow.
So there you go. So having somebody like that, yeah, it would be nice to have them a little more involved.
I would like to say there was recently streaming Wonder Woman, the movie, the animated movie for DC.
Uh-huh.
And Gail Simone did an amazing job writing that.
Oh,
and she was also a great writer on Wonder Woman. I love that movie. I highly recommend it.
Really?
It's really good, yeah.
Oh.
There you go. Great. All right. Layers your head.
So hopefully more of that. Is the answer to that.
Yeah, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question. Sid City? Oh, okay. No, thank you.
The Spirit, right? No, but he's a comic book guy.
Did he? Maybe he did create
Spirit
the Spirit.
Is Sin City, too.
That's what I want. I want people who have nothing to do with that movie to be working on. Frank Miller on Watchmen. Alan Moore on, I don't know, Powers.
Yeah, I'd like to see Alan Moore direct a Spider-Man movie. That would be great.
Okay.
I have opinions on Electro.
That was, go on.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Who's the best comic book character to have as a wingman or woman?
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Mm.
Or well, person.
I don't know. I'm going to say Nightcrawler, because if it gets weird, he can teleport me out of there.
You have
or he could teleport me where I need to be.
You have really low expectations for your dates.
I know.
How about
Nightcrawler's not going to take the babes, you know.
I would say somebody who can just read minds so you can really tell how it's going.
Wow, that's kind of weird.
You know what I mean?
I'd say Falcon, because he's a real wingman.
Oh,
I will say
God,
this on that. Right? It's funny. I had a. I was going to write after I did that Wolverine song. I was going to write a Thor song, and it was called "Thor is the Ultimate Wingman" because I figured he would attract a bunch of gay dudes, and then we could all hang out, and I would always hit up with the ladies because he's just hanging out with his hair going in slow motion, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's his only power, right? Slow-mo hair.
Slow-mo hair is his superpower. A lot of people don't know that, but it's not.
For those listening at home, slow-motion hair is important to Griggs because he may or may not be lacking some. That's why.
Yeah, that's why. Pete and I were talking last week. I kind of have a Charlie Brown runs a meth lab thing going on right now. So.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
All right.
Let's get the next question.
What superheroes comics do you think, on average, are the most likely to satisfy... you know, who has the best hit-to-miss ratio?
Which superhero comics have the best hit-to-miss ratio?
So yeah.
Like Action Comics,
you know,
or
yeah,
just
yeah,
Superman?
Exactly. Which one is better more often than
more them? Often, yeah. That's a good question.
I mean, Batman, I guess, right? That's had a pretty consistent hit ratio. Have we talked about how...
There were some issues that were...
Sure, but we're talking about a hit-to-miss ratio over
sure, yeah.
1,000 issues or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, all right. Don't be a dick about it.
Have we talked about how...
No, that doesn't make sense.
Wait, have we talked about how Diamond measures sales on this show? Have we talked about that yet?
We might have.
Okay,
we've been doing the show so long, I would just assume why wouldn't we brought
that
up?
We're going to have like a Seinfeld button conversation at some point. So... for those of you who don't know, comic book sales aren't actually released to the public. Like, they don't tell Diamond, which is the major distributor of comics, doesn't tell people how many comics are actually sold. Instead, what they do is they release an index, and the index gives a certain, it's not exactly a percentage, it's like 100, 97, 120, 200, something like that. That is based on the number of physical copies of Batman, the comic, that are sold.
So they index everything against Batman.
Yeah, so all comics are ranked on how many Batmans they've sold. So if something sold like half as many Batmans, it has a 50% versus Batman, which has 100.
Wow.
That's how they judge it, because Batman has been so consistent over the entire...
That's what I was going to ask. Has that ever like come into question where Batman, for some reason, was selling terribly?
No, that's the thing. The thing that's really weird about that I haven't heard about is Batman is now selling fantastically. Like, it was selling fine for a while and pretty evenly for a while, but since the New 52, it's been one of the top-selling titles. So I'm not quite sure how that's affected the...
Well, there was one series where Batman and Dazzler and the Incredible Hulk did a three-way, and that didn't sell very well. But other than that...
It was important for my career.
It's a collector's item.
Yeah, that was that.
That was a collector's item.
I have the one copy in my bedroom.
What? Yeah, I drew it for you. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a
I
lovely...
I drew it.
A lovely night between us.
Yes. It was a lovely night drawing comics.
I'm really trying to think.
Did we answer that question?
I don't know. Sure. I'm like Wolverine, but that
what
had
about
some rough
Spider-Man?
Runs. Like Spider-Man. I was going to say that earlier, but...
Well,
yeah.
I know you disagree.
Yeah.
No, I think Spider-Man
made some
has
real...
incredibly consistent for at least the last 5 years.
Starting when?
Starting...
Not this year, you. No
yeah,
way.
Absolutely. It's been
no,
great.
No,
for those of you listening at home, just this is a visual thing. Pete's crazy.
Visually.
Yeah,
I appreciate
visually
that.
Speaking, yeah. Pete's crazy and Spider-Man's amazing.
Oh.
Cool.
I would say maybe X-Men.
X-Men?
Yeah.
What about all of the 90s?
Shit. What about after that, though? Since the 2000s.
Yeah?
Yeah. Come on.
If it hadn't just ended, X Factor.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a good run before the 90s. There was a lot of good stuff.
I love the 90s.
The 90s.
Oh, right. Boy. Oh,
hey, wow. Guys, welcome to I Love the 90s, X-Men Edition.
Oh, that was the show that it never got on TV.
That was
ever.
A show that never happened.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. I think we have one last question.
If you were a hero, how long would your no-kill code last? That is a big assumption for Pete.
Yeah. It actually didn't last for Pete until you. By the end of the question, he was already dead.
I was already killing people. Yeah.
How long would your no-kill
dead? I'm like stabbing
well, Chris,
somebody.
What's this is something we've talked about on the show a lot, particularly in the wake of Man of Steel and Superman being a horrible person and killing people, which we all agree with. So just that's the basis for the conversation.
Right.
Oh, sorry. You want me to answer that? Yeah, I would honestly, I'd like to think I wouldn't kill people. But, you know, if I was Superman and Lex Luthor totally dicked out and was going to destroy the world, I would kill him.
Right.
And I wouldn't even think about it. I mean, I would kill Hitler. I'd kill those guys. And I would
it's
do
nice
it.
It's nice of you. It's good. You know, you're doing that for the good of the people.
Well, they just keep coming back, guys. Let's wait. You know, what's the point? I don't want to fight Lex Luthor 1,000 times. I just want to fight him once and, man, be done with it.
I saw a funny picture on Facebook where it was like Wonder Woman strangling some bad guy and was like saying something along the lines of like, there's a reason I don't have a laundry list of villains because I take care of my business. And then she like snaps his neck.
Cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was from Justice League, I think, right before Superman killed the dude in the comic.
Oh, cool.
Accidentally.
I just saw
So would you guys kill people? Is that the
I'd
basic?
Be terrified. I'd basically be like, I have superpowers. I'm going to hide forever. I don't know.
It depends on what my superpower is. If my superpower is bringing people back to life, you never know. I mean, it kind of depends on that.
You'd
maybe
be like, just
I kill people,
right?
Bring them back to life.
Right.
Be like, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the other hand, if your superpower was turning water into wine, you'd just be like drunk people to death.
That's why I want to be that guy, because I just want to be after party superhero. I don't want to be superhero where I got to do. I just want to be after party.
You
I turn
be
everything
Captain
into wine.
Kegerator or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I just want to do that.
Captain Kegerator.
Cool. All right, great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Yeah,
and that's
nice
it for your
one.
Audience questions.
Great
Thank
questions.
You, Boothman. Yes. All right, guys, we're going to move to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. In the Week of Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First off, I don't know if this is exactly geek. It kind of skirts it, but I thought it was kind of interesting to talk about. I'm sure you guys will have opinions. Sylvester Stallone announced today that Bruce Willis is out of Inspectables 3.
What?
And Harrison Ford is in.
What? What?
No.
Yeah.
A plus,
Boothman? What do you mean, A plus?
Ah, that's a
Bruce.
Spicy meatball.
I hope that Harrison Ford's earring gets a couple lines.
Probably. You can't. I mean, the best news would be like Bruce and Harrison Ford, but losing Bruce is such a sad thing. To why
he's been so integral to the last two movies.
All right,
I feel like to
okay,
lose him
yeah,
huge...
sure. You're right, but it's still awesome that he's in there. I mean, the funny part to me is, like, Bruce is making fun of, you know, like, being in this action, but he's still in all these action movies.
See, that's the thing. I actually do still buy Bruce Willis doing action. And Harrison Ford, to me, is the guy that's, like, 20 years ago he was too old for this shit. So I don't know if I really think that he was.
Did you guys see they released the new Ender's Game trailer today?
No.
Yeah. So it's just Harrison Ford being the grumpiest person.
That's right.
Universe.
He's just grumpy. He sits around with Ally McBeal and they're grumpy and annoying.
Yeah.
But I do love him because he's Han Solo. He's still the man.
Yeah.
But.
I saw him at San Diego as well. Did I
really?
Yeah.
Guys, I'm in the hot tub with Jeff Daniels and Harrison Ford, and we're talking about what superhero power we would like to have.
Yeah. I changed the water into wine, and things got a little crazy.
Crazy.
So what were you talking to Han about?
I didn't talk to him about anything. He was definitely, he was the person that I walked out, saw him standing there, was like, wow, you look exactly like my dad. I didn't say that out loud. But I was like, you look like my dad.
Wait, your dad looks like Han Solo?
My dad looks most like God. Sam Adams on the Sam Adams bottle. Whenever I get a Sam Adams,
I would
Adams,
love
I'm
to
like,
talk
Hi,
to
dad.
Harrison Ford, man. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Asking
oh,
the
he was
questions.
Definitely like, don't look me in the eyes. That was definitely
I can believe
the feeling
that.
You got off of him.
So you walked right up to him.
See, Jeff told you stories.
I walked right up to him, kissed his earring, and he was like, thank you.
Nice.
You're Callista, right? And I was like, I definitely am.
See, Jeff Bridges, he hung with you. He's cool. You can tell he's cool.
Cool guy.
Harrison Ford, you can tell there's a distance there. He's not going to tell you the cool stories about how Carrie Fisher was a screamer back 40 pounds ago. She's not going to tell you the stuff, you know?
God.
Oh, is that mean? I'm sorry. I didn't. Sorry, guys. That's what happens on live radio.
Radio?
Sorry, podcast with the albums on the MP3s.
Yeah. Anyway,
with the 8-track tape players.
Yeah, Harrison Ford needs to stop. That's all.
I mean, come on. He was awesome in 42.
He's going to be in a new Star Wars, though.
Yeah, sure. They're announcing that probably this weekend.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyway, he's going to be in Expendables 3, the hideously terrible series with debating...
I think they should do, though, if he's going to be in the Star Wars, let's just let Abrams do the same thing he's going to do with Star Wars, which is let's have a cool Harrison Ford, and then he's like the grumpy old Harrison Ford, like Spock style, who just comes back and goes, I used to be happy, and then he gives him wisdom.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. I like it. Cool.
Wait, what did you just kind of say before? Did you say that you didn't like?
Expendables is diminishing returns.
It's just a fucking fun action movie. What the fuck?
Look, when I was chatting with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger in San Diego.
Wow.
I hate you. I hate you.
This job has really gone to your head.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. No. I feel like, do we really want to talk about the Expendables?
Yes.
No. I mean, there's a couple of fun moments in the movies, but they never really live up to the promise.
You didn't think the first one was good?
It's fun. I watched it on an airplane. I watched the second one on an airplane. They're good airplane movies.
All right, then shut up.
The Expendables are fun, man. It's fun.
They
Stone Cold said so.
Not the airplanes I take.
Oh, boy.
I take unedited air. They'll show everything. Even like it's literally unedited footage. It's just spools and spools of like 15 takes in a row. It's crazy boring, but you're on the plane until you finish watching all of the footage. It's nice. They give you two Cokes and a bag of peanuts. All right, next thing to talk about, a little news about X-Men Days of Future Past. So in that movie, spoiler, but Professor X is back after pretty clearly dying in X-Men 3. So Bryan Singer gave an explanation this weekend at a convention how Professor X is coming back. His explanation is, well, what could happen is Professor X can transfer his consciousness to other beings, which is something that we saw in a little teaser at the end of X-Men 3. So Bryan Singer said, well, if he could do that, he could probably transfer his consciousness and create a new body around himself.
Oh,
and so that's his explanation.
That's about as annoying as the Spider-Man having, his brain in it. Oh, just awful.
No,
it's
just not something
awful.
I was trying to remember.
But
is
why
that
do the same body? Why do the same old
body
with the
wheelchair? Yeah, why being the guy with the wheelchair? Yeah.
Why don't I transfer my consciousness into Ryan Gosling or something where I've got pecs? Like, let's do something if I'm going to Professor X.
It's all a setup for a 12-inch pianist joke.
No, you know what? I like that. Good call. I like it. You know,
I asked for a 12-inch pianist.
What? Who are you thinking that one?
I don't even know.
I just hope
that was Alan Moore telling that joke on the set of directing X-Men Days of Future Past.
Who you were hanging out with in San Diego.
Yeah.
I just hope
San Diego actually takes place in his beard. Did you know that?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just hope there's, like the trailer, a teaser, that there's a lot of long wheelchair shots, just really slow shots.
The
of somebody
first 90
going
minutes of X-Men Days of Future Past is just Professor X rolling through a place.
Nice.
And also, if I'm Magneto and we're best bros, and I know that like a million years ago I caused all this to happen and you could come back in another body and you're still in a wheelchair, I'm like, when are you going to let it go, man? When are you going to let it go, man? I know I caused this.
Well, here's what I take away from it. I take away from it, Bryan Singer is basically being like, shut up, we're not going to explain that in the movie. Just go with it. He's just back because we wanted him to be back, and that's it. On the other hand, though, he did say Cyclops, who also died in X-Men 3, is like, yeah, can't bring him back.
No, he did not
He did. And to me, I'm like, all right, if you're going to have Professor X has the power to create his body around his consciousness, I guess Cyclops is like, at the last second, he shot out a ray, and it bounced back and brought his molecules back together. Done. There you go. There's my explanation. All right. Next thing to talk about, this was announced this week in the upcoming Batman versus Superman movie, Man of Steel 2.
Yeah.
Rumors are coming out that they want an older Batman.
How old is
Like a Batman Beyond type of scenario?
They're going to get Jessica Tandy, possibly, as Batman. That's what they're working on right now.
Abe Vigoda as Batman.
So we'll see what happens.
They're looking at Josh Brolin, which I think he'd be great, man. Josh Brolin's the man, right? He'd be cool.
Well, that would be Josh Brolin, if he was in that, he was in Jonah Hex, he's going to be an old boy, that would be his third comic book movie.
Look, if Ryan Gosling can ruin comic book movies, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Gosling is also rumored to be Batman, maybe.
He can be Batman, I don't care.
That's going to launch pretty good. 1,000
But I do think if they're trying to go for an older, crustier Batman, I think Josh Brolin would be great.
If you're going for older, why not just put Kevin Conroy there then? Or Michael Keaton.
I would love that. I would
Michael
love
Keaton
if Michael
would be
Keaton
awesome.
Came back to play an older Batman.
That would be
that
awesome.
That would be amazing.
Or Dietrich.
Or Dietrich. Oh, yeah. There you go. Or Bob Kane.
Val Kilmer is doing an indie film. It's called Fat Batman. So he's not going to be able to do that.
Sad. George, these are all Batman that you are mentioning.
Let's just run through every Batman that we know.
You guys can't name any more Batman.
We're out of Batmans, guys.
Best suggestion Adam West. Who cares about his age? The thing that's crazy about it to me is it's probably going to be younger Batman because they don't want to be like, let's cast an old Batman and then we can't use him for another five movies.
Right.
Because they're going to want to do a Justice League.
But John Hamm, why would you look any further than getting John Hamm for Batman?
What? I like John Hamm.
Why John Hamm for Batman?
He could do that.
Why John Hamm for Batman? Have you seen John Hamm in literally anything?
Yes. He doesn't scream Batman to me.
One time I was walking along on the street and he got him.
One time he was hanging out with John Hamm.
I was like, all right, there you're screaming Batman.
Wow.
Last thing, Star Trek 3 is moving forward.
Yes.
Robert Orci and Alex Kurtzman, who wrote the first two movies, are back to write Star Trek 3. J.J. Abrams won't be back because he is directing another movie that is star-named.
Ooh, nice.
Of course, I'm talking about the reboot of Starman is going to happen, so that's pretty exciting. But there's been a lot of rumors about the director. They were talking about your favorite boy, your boy, John M. Chu.
Directed.
John M. Chu, of course, known for Step Up to the Streets and Step Up 3D.
And that's
it. That's
who we're going to get to direct Star Trek. Wow. The guy who's known for dance movies.
You say that as if those aren't some of your favorite movies, Pete.
Well, we're talking about what has one to do with the other. Like, in the middle of Star Trek, they're just going to break dance fight?
That would be the most amazing thing of all time.
That I would pay money to
you just... wouldn't want to see some triples pop and lock it?
I think, Pete, they're going to get Joel Schumacher to do this, and they're all going to be in, like, tight latex on ice skates with cod pieces, and it's going to be a little bit on
right. They'll have an Enterprise card that
An Enterprise card that
they
pull out.
Chicks did take the Enterprise. They have Klingons, for whatever reason, are being like, I still meet you.
And they break into song from time to time. It's kind of a Broadway.
Why not just give it to Spielberg? I mean, why?
Spielberg?
Yeah.
I guess if you want, like, a young kid discovering the Enterprise for the first time.
Yeah,
like,
then,
wow, my family's trapped on there.
And then
what am I going to do?
Eat
Reese's
Pieces. That's what you do.
Ouch.
who would you actually want to see direct the third Star Trek movie? Who would be the ideal director?
The Farrelly Brothers.
The Farrelly Brothers?
Yeah, really?
That'd be amazing. Yeah, man. Sure.
Just lots of poop jokes.
I'd like to see Brad Bird. I think that's my pick for a Star Trek director.
Okay, I like that.
I think that'd be great. And they announced he's not directing the new Mission Impossible movie. That's Christopher McQuarrie, who's done ghostwriting on most of those movies and works with both of Tom Cruise movies. Also a totally fair director in his own right. So Brad Bird potentially free to direct it, I guess. He's directing Tomorrowland right now, which sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see him do that.
Say we get Shatner to direct it.
Shatner. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes has directed before on Star Trek. I don't know. The first two were really good. So I don't. It's a tough. Those are big shoes to fill. I really enjoy it. And I'm a total Star Trek geek. So those are big shoes to fill.
George Lucas.
See, you know what that would be? There's an irony to that I would like. And then all of a sudden, for no reason, there's a racist little droid on the Star Trek Enterprise. Hello, me phasers, Bob. I don't know. Whatever.
All the Klingons are like, Mr. Klingon!
Mr. Klingon, I'm going to kill you!
Oh, my God.
All right, that was bad.
No, that was pretty good. I liked it.
Oh, okay.
It was the best thing I've ever heard. And that's it for the week.
Yeah!
All right, guys. We are going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to a special guest, Pete LePage.
All right.
Woo!
Thank you for the special guest tag. Thank you, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because we would go to the comic store with $25. Who would like $25? Simple. Yeah, first hand up, guy. Come on up.
Yeah.
Come on up.
Come on up.
All right, sir. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, and you win. All right? What is your name?
Arnoy.
What's that?
Arnoy.
Arnoy? Audience? Audience Arnoy. All right. So, question number one. And today's trivia is on This Week in Comics. So as long as you read all the comics that came out this week, you'll have no problem with this.
But of course.
All right. Here we go. In Batman Annual number 2, we see a new guy hired at blank. Is it A, Arkham Asylum, B, the Gotham Police Department, or C, the Big Kahuna Burger?
A, Arkham Asylum.
A is correct. He was paying attention. Here we go. In Daredevil number 29, we see a corrupt blank. Is it A, a fireman, B, a judge, or C, Mr. Pink? So it's either A, fireman, or it's B.
B.
B is correct. All right, here we go. Last one. Focus up. In FF number 10, they try to help who out in a bad situation? Is it A, Alex Power, B, The Thing, or C, Stuntman Mike? So it's either A.
A.
A is correct. Look at that. $25 for you, sir. Congratulations.
Unbelievable. All right. So, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yep.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to all new X-Men number 15. And can I say a little something about it without spoiling?
Sure.
This for me, I got to read it ahead of time, and really had an awesome nerd moment, and I think people will really enjoy it, so
cool.
Check it out.
All right, I'm looking forward to Trillium number 1 from Vertigo Comics. That's a new title from Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, explain that a little bit.
Explain it?
Yeah, what is it about? You piqued my interest.
By saying the words Trillium and Jeff Lemire?
Yes.
I was going to get into it.
Well, do.
I'm going to, but then
well,
you
Well, hurry up already.
I'm working on it.
What's taking
We're
so long?
We're having a lot of back and forth. Come on!
Okay.
What happened? Oh, no, don't die. Don't die. You have to explain the
If
comic.
Only I had a superpower.
Die after you explain.
Pete, I've always wanted to tell you the plot of Trillium.
Damn it. We lost them, guys. Yeah, the show is
mine. Oh, thanks a lot.
All right, the show is mine.
Oh. Trillium's a little difficult to explain because it has a very weird, unexplainable concept. It's basically
that's why I bring it up.
There's time travelers. There's some sort of weird plants that are spanning centuries. It sounds a little to me like the Darren Aronofsky movie, The Fountain.
Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah, the Darren Aronofsky movie, Little Shop of Horrors, which was one of my favorite movies. No, it sounds a little bit like The Fountain in conception, but it goes beyond that. It's a miniseries. And his last sci-fi series for Vertigo, Sweet Tooth, is incredible.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to what he does with this one.
All
Chris,
right.
What are you looking forward to?
You guys are breaking out my nerd on. I see Game of Thrones, Jon Snow versus Ghost Statues coming out, but I don't have the money for it. But I do want to see anything.
Why? Because it's $350?
Yes, it's $350. So
worth it.
I need a cougar.
Yeah. Did you know you can actually get Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, to come to your house for $325?
Probably. Well, I was hanging out with Jeff Bridges, and he told me that was possible. But yeah, I love Game of Thrones. So
he was actually in the movie with Jeff Bridges, so he was on the couch with him when I was
Jon Snow, yeah. Jeff Bridges, and Harrison Ford is the cranky lieutenant. Anyway, in old school
water into wine.
Green Arrow 23 is coming out. I always love Green Arrow, and Green Lantern 23 is coming out. I love that.
Just awesome. Like the number 23, apparently.
Yeah,
like, and green.
To be honest, it's one of our best numbers.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Chris, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Well, as I was saying before, come out and see the Baldwins at the People's Improv Theater every Saturday, 8 o'clock. You can also catch me this Friday at the New York Comedy Club at 9 o'clock if you want to come out and see me do stand-up. Ha ha. And also see the Coexist Comedy Tour. Check it out on Stars Demand right now, guys.
Wow, that was...
Me and Nightcrawler are going to be hitting the after party after the bar.
Don't awesome. Die.
I'm really working on not dying. Guys, next week on the show, Tim Leong is going to be here. He's the author of Super Graphic, which is an awesome book of infographics about superheroes. We may or may not be doing a little bit of a giveaway on that. The spoiler, we definitely are.
Okay.
So that should be pretty cool. And he's coming back to the show after being in L.A. For a really long time. So we're excited to have him back. Yeah, Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out The Big City Dare to Draw.
Yep. You can check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Also, check out comicbookclublive.com and Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, head over to youtube.com/Nerdist for our movie review show, Biggest Summer Ever.
Yep.
This week, pretty soon, in the next couple of days, actually, we're going to be posting a review of Elysium that I think was pretty good. I think it was pretty good. What do you think, Pete?
Not really.
Oh, I mean, our review was really good.
Oh, right. Shit, I spoiled that one.
Spoiler.
That's fine. Anyway, head over and check that out. A couple of people you want to thank. We want to thank our interns, Iman Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Chanichella, and Riley Trahan. And we want to thank Chris Griggs for being on the show. Booth Band. Everybody here at Fontana's. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. So please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Night.
Thanks for coming out.